Bakery located in the Pearl District at 102 Northwest 9th Avenue. Pearl Bakery was founded locally in 1997, featuring artisan breads, pastries, and coffee. More information can be found at pearlbakery.com. Lunch was provided by Horse Brass Pub, located at 4534 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. Open from 11 to 2 a.m., serving British and pub grub. More information can be found at horsebrass.com. Dinner was provided by DiNicola's, located in the Creston Kenilworth neighborhood at 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard. DiNicola's authentic Italian restaurant has been a family-run Portland institution for over 40 years, serving Italian cuisine and pizza, open daily from 4 to 9 p.m. or later. For information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
This is KBOO Portland and KBOO Community Radio's ongoing experiment in community-funded media continues. And it's time for you to become a part of it. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm/give. It's 9 o'clock a.m., and that means I am privileged to bring you One Land, Many Voices. This is a recorded conversation, which we will be hearing most of it, and you can hear the full program online at kboo.fm, and just do a search for One Land, Many Voices and find the program page with today's full episode.
Tú nos dices que debemos sentarnos, pero las ideas solo pueden levantarnos, caminar, recorrer, no rendirse ni retroceder, ver, aprender como esponja absorbe. Nadie sobre todos, faltan todos, suman todos para todos, todo para nosotros. Soñamos en grande que se caiga el
imperio. Good morning. You're listening to One Land, Many Voices on KBOO FM 90.7, and I'm your host, Layla Kanan. If you were unable to tune in and hear Naomi Klein on Voices from the Edge, you can still go to kboo.fm and listen to the full episode there. And if you didn't know, it's our fall membership drive, and today is News in PA Day, and the theme is climate change. So for today's episode, I'll be playing a few clips that concisely talk about climate change and what environmental impacts the Israeli occupation has had on Palestinians and their land. As the Israeli occupation continues and conditions worsen, we often forget that Palestine is affected by climate change as well, which is exacerbated by the occupation. Not only are Palestinians subject to physical violence and abuse, but their land is also suffering. The occupation has severely damaged the Palestinian agricultural sector. The soil is drying up and water is becoming scarce due to Israel controlling most of the water aquifers. What once used to be fertile land is slowly shriveling up. But despite this, the story you're about to hear is an inspiring one. This Al Jazeera documentary follows Vivian Sansour, the seed queen of Palestine, whose wish is to create climate change-resistant seeds. This is her story.
حالك بدك فول تحبي فوله خدي
I grew up in the terraces I grew up with soil with people living by seasons I grew up with my grandmother planting seeds and cultivating crops so I think it was an attempt to return to something
نسوي الحلبة
وزعتر
وزعتر و... والفول
It started with me trying to collect seeds of things I loved that I felt were disappearing. And I started to put them in jars. And so I just would post things on Facebook, and then slowly people started to become more aware of what I was doing, and then asking me if I have this seed, or sharing stories about seeds that their grandmother used to grow or something their mother used to cook. Everyone had a story.
When I sit with farmers who remember this wheat, they all say, Abu Samra is like cake. You're talking about Samra, Abu Samra? And yeah, it means yani Abu Samra, dark and handsome one. So many people talk about him as this long lost love.
Just picked up 2 bushels of heirloom wheat. This wheat is called Abu Samra. We're taking it to Nusajbil, a village in the Nablus area. This is a very unique wheat because it's a wheat that grows with no irrigation. It's rain-fed. We have farmers who have committed to plant this heirloom wheat, and we will harvest it in the summer and make bread on our traveling kitchen. The idea is to bring this variety back to the market and back to our kitchen tables. When you ask them, for example, how do you think your olive yield is going to be this year? Their answer is always about, depends on my service. They believe they are serving the tree. And I know this all sounds so romantic in some way, but actually it's still in the language. They call it service. It is a relationship based on reciprocity rather than one person using the soil and abusing the soil to get the crop they want. Instead of growing food, we're growing poison. So we're trying to grow food again. Farmers are always exploring new ways to grow the perfect vegetable. And they're always underestimated in the world as these peasants who don't know much. But in fact, not only are they feeding us, but they are also teaching us so much about how we can survive in the future. So it's important to keep these seeds alive because these seeds are the result of this artistic and scientific endeavor that our farmers embarked on 10,000 years ago.
beautiful house that belonged to an old family of Bethlehem was for a while kind of left untended to, particularly the garden and the terraces. This place now is being transformed from a family home to an art and research center.
Hamad! Wow! Shukrada! Hey!
And I'm very proud to be the first landscape resident. And so the idea was to somehow revive these terraces.
You know, there's two qualities.
But I wanted to create a plot that represents the beauty of the feeling of safety and home in the midst of this area where we're right by the wall, where a lot of confrontations happen.
And there are many confrontations and many walls all around. And KBOO is always there, breaking down walls, breaking down barriers, putting the mic in the hands of the people. And that is the theme that we're focusing on for this drive. Reminding you of what it takes to make sure that microphone is connected to a transmitter and that that transmitter has the power to reach the community. And that community, that power comes from the community. Whether it's volunteers giving their time and energy or listener members giving their financial support. And that's what we're calling for right now, is your financial support, your involvement, your investment in this ongoing experiment. Like, can this happen? Can this work? Well, the past 51 years says yes. What will the next 51 years say? Well, the first of those next 51 years starts today, and it starts with you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Sonia. I'm a volunteer at KBOO, and I give my time and energy to make sure that there is a signal for you to hear, for you to hear these voices. The many voices of one land. Oh, I love that title. And I love that program. And I love KBOO. And you do too. That's why you're tuned in right now. And that's why you're going to go to your phone and call 877-500-5266. That's why you're going to go online and log on to kboo.fm/giv and put in your pennies, nickels, and dimes. And maybe a couple dollars as well. What would that be? $1.41, I think. We put in one of each. How about we add a five in there? Make it $6.41 a month. $6.41 a month for KBOO. Do that right now. 877-500-5266. And make sure that you have done your part to keep this going. Join in with your friends and neighbors and maybe some people you haven't met. I never will, but that's okay, because you're coming together through the aegis of this signal, this FM carrier wave that brings you all the news and information and analysis that you need to be a fully informed and well-rounded citizen of your community. Join with Tara, who's renewing their membership, and Karen is also renewing. Larry gave a call from Salem to renew their membership, and Valerie in McMinnville. Wow, I don't know what part of Portland these other folks are from. Maybe you want to come and you want to call in and represent your quadrant. Northeast, southeast, north, southwest, northwest. We want all of Portland. All five quadrants. I love that. All five quadrants. Call right now, 877-500-5266. Online at kboo.fm. We're going to momentarily go back to some more of what we're asking you to support. In the meantime, make that call. Do it online. Maybe you want to like have that going so you can keep listening while you type in your information on the safe, convenient, easy, and secure web form at kboo.fm/giv. However you do it, and at whatever level, just do it right now. And now back to online, many voices.
I And we're planting luchiye, which is a kind of a mallow plant that we make as a stew. It's a beloved dish for most Palestinians. And for me, it's my favorite dish because it always felt like this is really home. ليش نرفعها اعلى منها بتبين
هي بتلف بتزمع بس اذا المخيه طلعت اعلى منها بتبطل المي توصل للطراف بتعرف
طب نقدر نعمل فيها شيء يكون شكلها احلى شو رايك في هدول بدال المالتش
هذا روك مالتش
حلو كتير أنا بحبه كتير
تقيم حجر تزرع فيه ميرامية تزرع كذا بغطي الحجار كلهم بس مرات بيستعملوه على مساحات كبيرة بكره هذا الاشي لأنه بتقدرش تغير بعدين إذا قررت تعمل لاندسكيبينج مختلف بدك تشيل كل الحجارة تعب
هو مش عملي
هذا مش حاجة تشيله بتزرع فيه وبيختفي ديكومبوز مع الوقت
We're constantly living in this duality of violence and death and life, all living at the same time. And actually the violence is in the soil that we're working in right now because the first few days, the volunteers have been focusing on collecting the glass. Tear gas canisters were found in this very spot because that's where the confrontations happened. I feel that what I want to do in life isn't resist anything as much as create more beauty. And I think it's very important that we give the new generation something alive rather than all this concrete that we're leaving them with. My grandmother really taught me so much without her intention to teach me. I just really absorbed what she was doing all the time. I used to love stealing pomegranates from the neighbors. And one time, you know, I was feeling so bad and I went and I told her, you know, and I thought that she was gonna be very upset. But she said, oh, don't worry. Nature was given to us by God so that we can all enjoy it. It's a very beautiful thing because it is actually very true that nature does belong to all of us and it wasn't created with deeds and paperwork and everyone has the right to eat well and no one should go hungry. Through the work of the Seed Library, we're finding that more and more people want this stuff, which for me is the greatest success of it all because it suddenly became cool, desirable to want these heirloom varieties. And I think the reason is that we were able to really tell the stories of these varieties.
ممتاز. يلا كمان يلا الحين بس نطبخها
فلما ينشفوا على الاخر بذورهم هيهم هون شايفين
شوفوا It's a journey like in the work of the seed library we are kind of on a journey together to learn together what can we do in order for us to go back to eating clean food whole food real food Bread has become basically like eating spoons of sugar and it doesn't taste like bread anymore. People are interested in the Heirloom Seed Library and the work we're doing because it's a beautiful way that weaves us all together into a community.
And that is a clip from this documentary about preservation and propagation of heirloom crops and how the bounty of the earth is for all residents of the earth. That's right. We all live here and we all gotta eat. You know, KABU's gotta eat too. Won't you help cover the bills that KABU incurs in bringing you these voices, in bringing you this information and analysis? Being informed helps you navigate the world, better navigate the world around you. You know, helps you understand what issues affect your community and how. And you value how KABU as an alternative to the mainstream 24-hour news cycle. Breaking news all the time that's important to you and your family, your friends and neighbors, and people you've never met. You know, that in-depth reporting you hear informs you. You know more about what's happening, and you share this news with the world around you. So won't you share some of the burden, some of the responsibility for making sure that this is available for everyone who needs it? And who doesn't need it? I don't know anybody who doesn't need KABU and doesn't need what KABU brings. Won't you be part of it? 877-500-5266. Online at kboo.fm. The money you invest now comes back to you as a service that's essential, especially as mainstream outlets mass produce feeble attempts at quote news unquote. We can only step outside of this norm because of your support. Maybe you won't be near the radio later today. It might slip your mind. Take care of your contribution right now. 877-500-5266 to do so via telephone. You can do it online at kboo.fm/give. However you do it now. At whatever level, do it now. 877-500-5266 kboo.fm/give. Just this little small expense can be a big part of your day. Consider KABU's place in your day, how it enriches and informs you regularly, and that's worth something. You value how KABU informs you, so show that value. Put a dollar amount on it and call 877-500-5266 online at kboo.fm/give right now.
All right, and welcome back. Playing next is a lecture from Sameh Sabawi at the Climate Change Social Change Conference. She talks about the impacts of climate change and the environmental consequences of the occupation of Palestine by Israel.
Hello, everybody. Well, I want to thank you for asking me to take part in this conference and to add the voice of my people and their struggle for justice to your voices. There is great strength in solidarity, and quite often, once we've peeled the external layers that makes our individual causes unique, we always find that we are all in the same boat, and that our fight for justice and equality and respect for the land has so many common threads. Now, I want to start by introducing to you who we are as Palestinians. Palestinians are the indigenous inhabitants of the land that was once known as Palestine and is now called Israel and the occupied territories. They were mostly a population of farmers, fallahin. Their view of their identity is therefore defined by their connectedness to the stones, the earth, and the trees. They are the descendants of the local inhabitants, mainly Christian and Jews, who had converted after the Islamic conquest in the 7th century AD. The average Palestinian tending to his or her farms in the hills of Hebron is aware of this history of invaders and occupiers that have passed through his ancient land. But today, these indigenous farmers of Palestine know that they face a much bigger existential threat than ever before. No past occupation has caused so much damage to the soil. No former empire has inflicted this much pain on this ancient landscape. No past invaders have acted with so much impunity as to uproot thousands of trees, poison water wells, and replace agricultural land with so much concrete and barbed wire. Israel's occupation of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip is a story about stolen land, exploitation of labor, and theft of resources. This story provides a very classic case in exploring the relationship between corporate greed and perpetual conflict. In 1967, Gaza and the West Bank fell under the occupation of Israel. And I'm taking you to that date back in time because Israel was standing at a crossroads after the occupation. It had two obvious choices it could have made. The first choice was that it could have annexed Gaza and the West Bank, which is the area you see here in yellow, creating one geopolitical and economic unit, which is what many today refer to as the one-state solution, and giving equal citizenship rights for the Palestinians in the land that it had occupied. But the indigenous Palestinian population would have made up half of the total population of the state of Israel, a state that defines itself by its Jewish ethnicity. Of course, the leaders of Israel needed to maintain a Jewish majority, and this really is the underlying pillar of much of Israel's policies vis-a-vis the Palestinians. So that was not, and still is not, an option. The other choice that was obvious that Israel could have made was it could have complied with international law and withdrew from the territories it occupied, and later have two political and economic units, the two-state solution that everybody's talking about, a Palestinian and an Israeli state living side by side. Israel was not interested back then in that option, and it is still not interested in it today. What Israel wanted was the land and the resources, but without having to give any rights to the indigenous people who come with that land. So they decided on a third option: limited economic integration and practical elimination of the Green Line. The assumption here was that close economic dependency would prevent Palestinians from contesting Israeli occupation by force. The result was that during more than 44 years of occupation, the Israelis have confiscated a considerable proportion of the occupied territories, pushing the Palestinians into smaller and more confined bantustans while implementing a policy of colonization and exploitation of labor and resources. Today, inside the occupied territories, there are almost 4 million Palestinians in total. All of them remain stateless and without any citizenship rights of any kind. More than 1.5 million of them are refugees who have lost their homes inside Israel's 1948 borders and have been denied the right to return since then. There are also more than 1.5 million Palestinians who remained inside Israel's 1948 borders and who have become citizens of the state of Israel. They make up 20% of the Israeli population, but they have limited rights. They have the right to vote. They are treated as second-class citizens, however, with more than 20 laws that specifically target and discriminate against them. Today, more than half of the West Bank, which forms most of what is to be the future Palestinian state, and when you look at this slide, you'll know that it's a bit of a fairy tale right now to think about that. It has been annexed by Israel for its ever-expanding Jewish-only colonies, industrial zones, Israeli-only roads, checkpoints, and security buffer zones. The blue color on the map shows all of the land that Israel fully controls and has annexed in the West Bank. And it's only the dark brown areas that show the Palestinian land that the PA controls. Now, to foster a Palestinian economic dependency, which is really the core of the story that I'm telling you today, since 1967, Israel isolated the West Bank and the Gaza Strip from the rest of the world. Palestinians in the occupied territories were only allowed to trade with Israel and in limited amount of agricultural goods with Jordan. Israel monopolized the Palestinian captive consumer market, flooding it with Israeli goods and products, and at the same time, through various tariffs and regulations, restricting the entry of Palestinian products into Israel. Palestinian workers were allowed to work in Israel only as cheap laborers, but they were not afforded many of the workers' rights that are afforded to Israeli workers who are doing the same job. Israel also strangled the Palestinian economy by placing restrictions on investment in agricultural and in industrial productions. For Palestinians who wished to build a factory or import equipment, a permit from the Israeli military governor was needed, but it was rarely ever attained. Desperate for work, Palestinians were willing to work on Israeli settlements, building homes in Jewish-only communities on land that was stolen from them, and in industrial zones in very poor conditions, in low-paying jobs. Most of them earned 30 to 50% less than Israelis working in the same occupation and sector.
And yet more information that you need from the source that you love. KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, 91.1 FM out of Hood River, 104.3 in Philomath, in the Willamette Valley. This is what you need. This is our News and Public Affairs special, all day long, into the evening, and music all weekend, with a little bit of also, a little more public affairs and analysis, information, community updates. So much that you get, and so little is required of you to make sure it's there for you in the future and for everyone else. Won't you make that small contribution right now? $5 a month, let's say. Start easy. $5 a month for a media outlet focused entirely on serving no interest but those of the audience. $5 a month for a media that does not give a platform to hate speech and oppression. $5 a month to make sure that you and your friends and neighbors can continue to rely on KBOO to confront local issues in a way no other radio station can. $5 a month for news and information that is essential every single day, whether it's a historic day or an ordinary day like any other. KBOO will be here when you need it. $5 a month for the value that you obtain, that you receive from all of KBOO's news and public affairs content and programs, information, analysis, as an alternative to the mainstream 24-hour news cycle. $5 a month as a stand for truth, as a stand for freedom of information. $5 a month for facts. You are a part of this powerful movement of participatory, independent media. $5 a month. Join the thousands every day who rely on this information. $5 a month to ensure that KBOO is able to express unheard perspectives in a media environment where so many people are invisible. $5 a month so that KBOO can do this because of your $5 a month. Take a moment to invest $5 a month in KBOO. I'm asking you for $5 a month on behalf of KBOO to join this community project intended for a more inclusive media. Please join KBOO now at $5 a month, that very small expense. The $5 a month that you invest now comes back to you in oh so many forms. $5 a month to cover your part. $5 a month. Now, more than ever, your investment in KBOO's news and public affairs programming ensures fearless reporting, thoughtful questions, and relevant local investigation. $5 a month, right now, and show your support for news that matters. 877-500-5266. You didn't have your writing implement and your Surface ready, so I'm going to repeat it for you. 877-500-5266. You can do it online, too. KBOO's got a website. You know how KBOO can afford that kind of bandwidth? Because your friends and neighbors got involved. Your friends and neighbors contributed their $5 a month, or whatever amount made sense to them. And they made it happen. And it's continuing to happen because they got involved and because they stay involved. How about you? It's your turn now. $5 a month at 877-500-5266. Or online at kboo.fm/give. I'll throw in a little curveball for you. You're in the Central East Side. Why not come down to Burnside and 8th? And then right there, about half a block south, between Ankeny and Burnside, you'll find KBOO. Studios and offices. World headquarters, right here in Portland, Oregon. 877-500-5266. Or in person at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland 97214. Map it. It's still pretty safe to ride a bicycle down Ankeny, so try that too. The lines 12 and 20 and 19 all stop within a block. Do it by TriMet. However you do it, do it now. Become involved in your community radio, in your electronic media outlet. That's right, it's yours. And that means the responsibility to maintain it is yours. 877-500-5266. I love repeating the fives there, so I'll repeat another five. $5 a month for KBOO. However you do it now. We're going to come back to a little bit more of what we're asking you to support, so why not make it happen? Make that call. Go online and do it there. However you do it now.
Finally, you'll hear one more documentary about the occupation, olive trees, and their destruction. For years, Israel has used the destruction of olive groves as a tool to destabilize Palestinians. Often, the Israeli government will destroy olive groves to build new settlements for Israelis. But by destroying the hundreds of years old olive trees, the Israelis are also destroying Palestinian livelihood, the Palestinian economy, and the natural environment. The documentary Settlers, Olives, and Occupation, Voices from the West Bank, is important for understanding how crucial olive trees are to Palestinians and peace as a whole.
So it's just because he's got a British passport that he can't go down there, or is it because he's Palestinian?
Because he's not Jewish.
Through July and August 2014, the world's attention was on the Gaza conflict. Sparked by the murder of three Israeli teens, the conflict came to a close with the announcement on September the 1st of new Israeli settlements in the West Bank, a move which Israel's economics minister, Naftali Bennett, described as an appropriate Zionist response to murder. Condemned by the international community, the settlement plans have only added to tension in the West Bank. So Vice News sent Palestinian-born filmmaker Medyan Daria to find out more about the current situation for Palestinians living in and around Israeli settlements in the West Bank. We followed Leila and Nadia, two American-born Palestinian activists, as they crossed from Israel into the occupied territories. Both are members of the International Solidarity Movement, a group focused on promoting the Palestinian cause.
My name's Leila and I'm from the US. I was born in Dallas, Texas. My dad is Mexican and my mom is from Jerusalem. My mom has actually never been here and my grandparents haven't been here since the 50s and they weren't able to return because they were outside of Palestine when it was like taken by Israel. All Palestinian refugees don't have the right to return, where like any Jew from anywhere can return even if they don't have any like direct ties to Palestine.
It's an extremely humiliating process going through the border. I always get interrogated. Every time I've been, they've threatened me, we're not sure if you're going to be able to come in. We might have to send you back to Jordan. And they just make it an extremely difficult process, I think, almost so that you won't want to come back.
We arrived in East Jerusalem, annexed by Israel after the Six-Day War, but still recognized by the international community as part of the Palestinian West Bank. The Al-Aqsa Mosque is the third holiest site in Islam, and recent months have seen intermittent restrictions on access for young men, which the Israeli government claims is to reduce potential disturbances. Under Israeli fire, the crowd quickly dispersed. We decided to leave Jerusalem and headed south to Hebron, the largest city within the West Bank. Despite being firmly within Palestinian territory, 20% of the city is under Israeli control, and it's home to a Jewish settler community of around 500 people.
We're in Hebron, and it's under Palestinian control, like the PA's control, Palestinian Authority. So there's not supposed to be like any military presence at all. But there's times where settlers will come into this area, and the army will completely protect them.
The Israeli soldiers can basically come in whenever they want, and when they're here, they have power over the PA police.
This checkpoint was just rebuilt. It was burnt down in clashes. You could still like walk through it, but they wouldn't allow people to walk through it.
This street here leads to Shahada Street, where Palestinians aren't allowed to walk. There are a lot of abandoned houses on the way, where Palestinians aren't allowed to live anymore. You can also see all the Israeli flags trying to make claim to the territory. Everywhere there are flags.
This is the woods.
Why? I'm British.
But why he's a British person. He's got a British passport.
Why? Because I'm a Palestinian. Originally from Palestine. That's why. I'm British like her.
Exactly. You can't go.
So it's just because he's got a British passport that he can't go down there, or is it because he's Palestinian?
Because he's not Jewish.
He's not Jewish. I'm not Jewish. She's not Jewish, and she's not Jewish. But we can walk down this way.
You're from. He's from Palestine, and he can go.
He's from Britain. He's got a British passport.
He's British.
A green passport. So
yeah.
He can.
And he has a red passport.
And green. This is the rules, you can go.
And he has his little settler protecting him.
I work here, but not allowed to be as Palestinian, not allowed to be inside the Shuhada Street. The army stopped me every day, it checked my ID. The Shuhada Street, the same like Ghost Town Street. So as Palestinian, very difficult situation for us. This is a protection for settlers, no? No protect any Palestinian. The settlers also every day, you want to kill us because you stay here. This is our city.
انت عمالك انت بتشوف احنا لما بدنا ندخل على دورنا بطريقه يعني هذا وقف وفتش وارفع ايديك وهويتك وين ساكن ما بتعرف يعني زلمه انا زلمه اختيارهم ب 65 سنه لما بوقفني وسالني
Right now we're standing on a Palestinian home and you can see these new buildings over here are settlements and you can see over there there's a soldier watchtower because wherever there are settlers there are always soldiers protecting them. And basically you can see like how close Palestinians and settlers live to each other. And this house especially has experienced a lot of harassment from settlers because they're so close. The water tanks here. This is like bullet holes. So a lot of the times they'll like shoot the water tank so that it'll lose the water.
So the soldiers come from all over the place. We have soldiers speaking with American accents, Canadian accents, Russian accents. The soldiers, they protect the settlers. They don't protect the Palestinians.
The creep of Israeli settlements into internationally recognized Palestinian land is another major concern within the West Bank. We traveled north to the Nablus governorate to meet a local mayor who offered to show us how the Israeli settlements are expanding.
في الجهة الشمالية في عنا مستوطنة على التل هناك اللي هي
777 هي امتداد لمستوطنة جدعونية، مستوطنة اتمار. هاي المستوطنات بتحاول تنزلق باتجاه المرتفعات اللي موجودة شرق عقربة وتمتد جنوبا لحد مستوطنة معالي فرايم اللي واقع إلى الشمال من أريحة، بهدف فصل عقربة عن أغوارها، عن أحواضها الطبيعية وأراضيها الزراعية الخصبة. طبعا المواطنين متنبهين والبلدية متنبهة لهي الخطوة الخبيثة بصراحة، وبلشنا ندفع المواطنين باتجاه الحدود الشرقية لعقربة.
These Israeli settlements don't just consume Palestinian land, they also impede one of Palestine's largest industries, agriculture. Berin is a town supported by the olive oil industry. The Israeli authorities control access to many olive groves planted near Israeli settlements, meaning some families are only given a few days to harvest large areas of their crops. This has led to international and Israeli volunteers coming to help with the harvest.
And we're calling upon you to volunteer some of your pennies, nickels, and dimes to make sure that your source for this information remains vital and independent and able to bring you this sort of information. It is not subject to, shall we say, interference from those who might benefit from silence around these issues. Those who might see their interests as being particularly threatened by you having this information. What's it take? It takes your commitment. It takes your involvement. Well, it takes everybody's, but I'm speaking to you right now. I'm speaking to you, the passive listener. You've been considering making that hard left turn to become an active member, and now is the perfect time. Call 877-500-5266. This is one of the few times out of every year that I'm able to speak directly to you and remind you of what it takes to have something like this. You know, you don't hear this kind of appeal from commercial stations because they spend a third of every hour shilling to you on behalf of their paymasters every single hour, every single day. We spend around a third of every hour for a few days at a time, 2-3 times a year. And the rest of the time, we just rely on you to remember. 877-500-5266. Join the collective of KBOO's paymasters. That's right. We serve one master, and that is the audience. That's the listeners, the membership. And who is that? It's your friends and neighbors. It's people you've never met. It's some people you might not care for, but you do have KBOO in common. This is collective action. This is solidarity. This is each acting for the benefit of all. That's right. We are the 52,841 musketeers. And we all for one and one for all. And it takes you. 877-500-5266. I called on the folks to join in at $5 a month last time I got to speak with you. I'm going to talk to the people with slightly deeper pockets this time. It's time for you to come in at $10 a month. $10 a month in order to make sure that you can be aware and prepared to face a rapidly changing world. $10 a month for KBOO's public affairs and talk programs that emphasize controversial and neglected perspectives on important local, national, and international issues. $10 a month to make sure that you are more informed about the issues with KBOO's public affairs programs. $10 a month to stay ahead of the mainstream media in knowing about major stories surrounding environmental justice, activism, and local policy making. $10 a month for shows like Disability Awareness, Transpositive PDX, Preference, The Food Show, Pacific Underground, and Black Book Talk. $10 a month for you and your community to know more about a wide variety of topics that impact you and the people around you. $10 a month to explore radical approaches to problem solving and making the world a better place with KBOO. $10 a month for your membership that helps make this kind of programming possible and that you'll inspire others to do the same. $10 a month to keep open these so many ways to take in media, yet so much of it sounds the same. You help this program with $10 a month to sound different from what you hear elsewhere. $10 a month empowering people in your community to offer news, information, and perspectives that are relevant to your life, that make you think. $10 a month to promote cross-pollination between diverse social movements simply by providing a space for activists and leaders to share their work. And that space is KBOO. $10 a month for relief from the silo mentality of mainstream media. For talk programs to hear people who see the world differently, to learn how to make radio with our free training. That's right. $10 a month to cover yourself and someone else who can't make that kind of financial commitment. You do both of you for $5 a month, right? And you kind of pick it up and you put in $10 a month for KBOO right now. 877-500-5266. We're going to wrap this up now, bring you the last bit of this program we have time for today. There's a whole other segment we weren't able to include, but you can hear it at kboo.fm. Just search for One Land Many Voices and find the episode page for today's program. And now, our final segment. Stay tuned.
Finally, you'll hear what.
My name is Rabbi Yechiel Greniman from Rabbis for Human Rights. I'm just coming into the village of Borin with a group of Israeli and international volunteers, and we're going to be working near an illegal outpost called Givat Ronen to help a local farmer with access to his land to pick his olives.
Please don't shout and don't talk too much, because they may hear us, the settlers may hear us, and because apparently they don't even know that we are here. My name is Yona. It's already my 12th year volunteering here with the Rabbis for Human Rights, planting new trees instead of the ones that were cut by the settlers. I doubt whether I do help the Palestinian, but at least I help myself, that I can watch my face in the mirror.
We're coming here to show solidarity with the people who live here and oppose to the behavior of the settlers and to the pressure of the army on everyday life of people here. And we do educational work. We also have protests where there have been attacks against mosques. We came when a Quran was burnt and brought a new Quran. I don't know what else I can tell you. Inshallah, we will in the long run succeed in bringing change.
I've been to Israel several times and I have a lot of Israeli friends. Then I decided that maybe I want to go across the wall and want to go into the West Bank. I gotta be honest, when I crossed the border, when I went into Palestine, it wasn't more than 2 or 3 days before I could see, like, there was no objective, like, side of this. When you hear, like, they have these incredibly frightening stories about what they've been through. And it was really my point before I got down here, that I really didn't want to get colored. Like, I would stay objective. I would try to, like, see the point of both sides, or from both sides. But yeah, you just, that's not possible. It's not.
In other parts of the West Bank, access to olive trees is completely denied. We attended a protest against such bans at Kfar Kadum.
كما أيضا هذا الشارع مغلق وهذا يعني أننا نعاني من الوصول إلى أراضينا وإلى قطف الزيتون وإلى الزيتون. وكما ترى هذا الاحتلال ما هو ما يمارس من إرهاب ولم يترك أي طريقة إلا ومارس.
لن يفيد.
إن شاء الله سنفتح هذا الطريق بإذن الله تعالى. والآن سننتصر.
And the military will come from down there. They're also like running up here, so they're approaching from different sides. So you don't really know where they are. Like they can come down here from behind the houses.
تتسو ما بيت أتم عسيم ترور ليلديم.
As the fire from the Israeli security forces got heavier, we pulled back from the confrontation. We left Kfar Kadum and headed to meet a woman whose five-year-old daughter, Inas Khaled, was killed in a hit and run. An Israeli settler was driving the car. Inas is one of the latest victims to be killed in a road traffic incident involving a car driven by a settler.
كنت أنا طالع أجيب إناس عن الشارع من الباص كالعادة يعني مثل كل يوم لقيت لما أنا وصلت الرصيف من تحت والبنات على الرصيف الثاني كانت جاي سيارة المستوطن لقيت لما هو قرب على البنات أنا صرت أصرخ وأشر له في إيدي أحكي لها استنى 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 على البنات فيش سيارات إلا هو على الشارع يعني هو ظل ماشي والبنات قطعوا ضربهن وظل طالع لا هم بحكوا إن سلم نفسه وإشي بس إحنا يعني ما عندناش إشي يعني رسمي سمعنا يعني بس ما شفنا إشي رسمي بالمرة بس يعني ضربها طارت في الهواء ورجعت ضربت في الشارع يعني بس يعني مجرد رفعت إيديها وراسها رجعت البنت غيبت عن حالها على طول رحت أجري عليها أصرخ وأصيح رحت أنا زميتها وصرت أصرخ أنا وجارتي والبنت يعني على طول غيبت ما صحت ولا ثانية ولا رمشت ولا حكت أي إشي يعني قد ما نحكي وقد ما في حدا بيرجع ناس
We're in the village of Sulbat and we're walking for the 14-year-old boy that was shot last week in Jerusalem and this is his funeral.
Ora Hamad was shot dead by the Israeli military. They claimed he was throwing a Molotov cocktail. However, eyewitnesses have stated he was just throwing stones.
تكبير
الله أكبر
كنا لم نرفع راية بيضاء نعم يا عروة أقول لكم جميعا افخروا أنكم فلسطينيون
After the burial, Israeli forces and Palestinian protesters squared off.
We're here today protesting against the killing of Arwa Hamid. They shot him and then they kept his body for half an hour while he bled to death. They saw the shooting from a bullet. They also have snipers with live ammo. But now they're shooting fucking tear gas.
I'm a photographer from Macedonia and Switzerland, and we were standing there 10 meters next to the soldiers when they just arrived, and they shot at us. They hit me in the finger and the camera is broken, and another Palestinian photographer was hit in the arm. They shot with those rubber bullets that shoot five or eight at the same time. and really like straight at the journalists. There was no kids throwing stones next to us. We were 5-6 journalists next to each other. They shot straight at us. So that's what happens here.
A protester we met at the clash, who did not want to be identified, offered to show us a range of equipment he claimed Israeli forces used to disperse crowds.
This is the different kind of guns that the Israeli use. The rubber bullets that they usually shoot. Let's have this metal part in it. I don't know why they call it rubber. And then they have also this one, what they call steel-coated bullets. But the difference is that they shoot it from this one, so you have 15 inside this can, and then when they shoot, score randomly and hit people, so they don't control how they hit people. Stun grenade or flashbang. They also the same can that they shoot, so they can either throw it by hand or even shoot it with rifles. They also have...
And while I deeply regret having to cut that off, I am happy to inform you that you can hear the entire program, uncut and uninterrupted, at kboo.fm. Just search for One Land Many Voices and find the episode page for today's program, 9/27/19. This is KBOO Portland. It's 10:01 a.m., and we're about to hear...